Tonight I want to share just regarding leading, and we are, you know, every now and again we're going to just speak just regarding leadership. Tonight I just want to speak and to touch on leading with honor. And like we experienced this evening here in worship, you know, there's a wonderful place of honor when you go into the presence of royalty. When you go into the presence of a king, or, you know, and there's no other place that we can have like we had this evening now and still continuing and will have still, where you can enter into God's throne room of grace. No greater honor for us, knowing that the King of the universe is inviting us to come to Him, to be there with Him. You know, if just to understand, you know, in human terms, if the Queen of England were to invite any of us for a high tea, it is a great honor to go there and to go and sit and have tea with the Queen herself. Anyway, one of those great reformers, I don't know if it was Wesley or some guy that really had, you know, God was working through him, but he had a time and a date where he met with royalty, his king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had the honor, I'll go and find out, I'll tell you guys later who this is, but I think it was Wesley or one of those great evangelists. And then he was invited to come and meet the queen, or the king. I don't know how far it was back. And then, as it happened, it got delayed because there was something that needed to happen, and his time slot with the Lord Jesus was, say, from 11 to 12. Just making up my story as I go. And the queen was delaying because something more important was happening. And then she came because she wanted to meet this guy. And as she comes in, he sits down. And it's just before 11 and he says, "Your Majesty, thank you very much." And he gets up and he walks out. Because his appointment with Christ was more important and more honoring than his appointment with the queen. And he said, "I need to go now." And many times, you know, and most of us wouldn't do that. And it's like, okay, sit down and be quiet. "Thank you, Your Majesty. Cheers. Where are you going?" "I'm going to meet my king. And you might be married to one, but that's not the one I'm going to meet now." So, in this place of honoring in our hearts, there's a place where God and Christ needs to have that place of honor that I just described now. That all of the things around us and all of the thoughts and all of the stuff that's just in the periphery of that gets pushed aside when it comes to honoring your king. Okay, and I'm preaching to the volley as well. Most of us don't pray because we don't have time for it, or we don't make time for it, and we don't have a place to do that in. We don't have that. Get some time. Get a place. And make an appointment with yourself and the king in your diary. It's simple. Very profound, but simple. And then you honor that, and you meet with your king. Anyway, so let's read 2 John 8. It says there, about honoring. "Look to yourselves that we may not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward." When it comes to honoring, there's a reward in honoring. There's a massive reward in honoring. And I'm going to just unpack some of the things regarding that with you guys tonight quickly before we're going to pray for one another. But when you run a race, like you've seen in the, what do you call it, Olympics. Now, in the Olympics, many people they go and they run the race, and then afterwards they get stripped of their medal. So the honor that was bestowed to them gets taken away. Why? Because they didn't compete according to the rules. If the rules say don't use drugs to get there, and you do that, then you get dishonored. But if you compete according to the rules, then there's a full reward for you. Nothing being taken away. Same with honoring. If you are honoring people or God, there's a full reward that God wants us to have when we do that. So, the biggest reward of all, just to the person next to you. Just quickly say to the person next to you, what do you think is the biggest reward of all that you can have? It's not difficult. Go for it. Money, Deval. Money, lots of money. What is the fullest reward that you can have? Genesis 15 verse 1. God speaking to Abram, coming to him in a vision. And he says to him, fear not, Abram. I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. In Psalm 19 verse 7 to 10, we read the following. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. The reward that we can have is as God told Abram. Abram, I am your reward. That is the greatest reward that we can have, is to have God, to have Christ. You know, if you have that, you've got everything. So, you know, when we honor God, then He is our exceedingly great reward, and He wants to give Himself to us like He does tonight. You know, when all your circumstances says no, but you're in a place where you are honoring God and you're with God, you know what? Those circumstances tend to fade away into the darkness as the light envelops you, comes around you of your Father that says, hey, this is my Son. I'm well pleased in you and you are fine. He is our exceedingly great reward. So, there are also other things, and I'm just quickly going to touch on them. You know, we get a full reward, and that's what we all want. Okay, so the full reward is God, but there's also rewards that we see in the Bible. God says, every man will be rewarded in heaven according to his works, or her works. So whatever you do on earth, this is not, you know, you get God, yes, but then there's going to be other stuff that God gives us while we are in heaven as well. Don't know what those will be, but the Bible is clear on that. God will reward us handsomely for the work that we've done in His name. So I'm just unpacking that a little bit so that you know. God is first all of our reward, and then He's also, on top of that, going to reward us for what we've done and in His name. So, first one, full reward. Second one, then there's like a partial reward. Half a reward. And then the third one, there's no reward at all that we can see when it comes to honor. Honor has rewards. First, it's God. And then from there, you get a full reward. You get a partial reward, and you get no reward at all. Rehoboam, he says here, Rehoboam, he was a king. He was a stupid king. Foolish. Stupid, foolish, whatever. You know, same thing. But he was. We read there in 1 Kings 12, 4 to 10. And it says, he was now thinking, he was taken over from his father. His father was a cruel king. And as he came to the people of Israel, he takes counsel with the wise men, like those with the gray heads among us. He's taking counsel with them. After his father died, now he's taking over as king. He's taking counsel with them. And they say, listen, if you want the hearts of these people, then be gracious to them. Be merciful to them. And they will serve you with everything that they've got. He says, okay, that's nice. And then he says, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. Then I will speak to you, the people coming to Rehoboam. And then he took counsel with the young men, you know, all his buddies. And then they said to him, what do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father has put on us. And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, thus you shall speak to this people who said to you, your father made your yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. So this guy goes, and he doesn't, from the place of where he has been honored as the king, he doesn't honor the people with grace and mercy that are under him. And, you know, one of the bad parts of the history of Israel is, yeah, the kingdom gets torn in two because of this stupid king, this foolish king. And the kingdom of Israel gets torn into two pieces because of this act that this guy has been doing. So when it comes to honoring, it's not just upwards. It's honoring all people, honoring the people that are underneath you as well. And God will give you rewards in that. Rehoboam has lost his whole kingdom because of the principle of honor of the people that he didn't do. Now, the partial rewards or the no rewards, when it comes to honoring, Jesus says in Mark 6 verse 5 that he goes to a place that is his hometown. And as he goes to that place, there the people knew him. They knew who he was. You know, they knew his mother and his sisters and his everybody. And he comes there, and because of this familiarity with him, the Bible says that Jesus could not do mighty works there, many mighty works there. He did do some works, but he couldn't do many works there because of this familiarity thing that happened with the people and Jesus. And because they didn't honor him as such, they didn't receive a full reward. What did they get? Just a partial one. They didn't honor him as the Messiah, but, you know, we're like, those are, again, foolish people. But imagine, you know, there's three ways that people, and I think we've got the best part of it in the place where we have been born. We have been born after Christ, where the Holy Spirit can witness with our spirits that we are saved. I think we have got the easier part of all the people that lived. The people that lived before Christ, they needed to believe that Christ will come to save them from their sins. The people living with Christ, and this is now these people, they needed to believe that this man that I can see, that I can touch in flesh and blood, this man is the Son of God, is the Messiah. I think those guys had it the most difficult. Because they knew it was supposed to come, they knew it was going to come, and now here he is, and he says that this is who I am. And they needed to believe that he is the Christ, the one that has come. And then we come after that, and we need to believe that Christ has already come and he has already paid the price. But the Holy Spirit comes and he witnesses with us. So that makes it easier for us. Anyway, so because they didn't honor Christ as such, he couldn't do mighty works among them. And then in Mark 6 verse 2 to 4, says, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now the familiarity part. Is it not this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are these not his sisters that are with us? So they were offended at him, and Jesus said to him, and this is now the no honor. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. So, when it comes to honoring people, honoring God, being in that place of dishonoring people, it's a bad place to be. No reward there. Dishonoring God, worst place to be. No reward there. So, those are the partial ones, and I'll speak now about the full reward. The Greek word for honor is theme. Which, whatever. It's go and search for it. But it means the following. It means something valuable, precious, weighty, appreciation, esteem, favorable regard or respect. So when you come into a situation with God or with people, If you experience, you know, in your heart that place, this is a weighty matter. This is a place where I come to a place of really knowing that this is a holy situation like we had here tonight and are going to have just now. You come into this place of God, I'm not worthy to be here. And and what makes it great for me, just to add a little bit to this word, this weightiness, many times in the Bible we find that the word for glory is also translated into the weight of God's glory. It's almost like there's a heaviness coming into that situation. And the same thing when we are honoring God or people, that weightiness should be on us. So that we can have what? So that we can have a full reward. Like this man. This man is not a believer, or he was a believer, but he's not a Jewish man. And he comes to Christ in Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13, and he receives a full reward, people, because of honor. Verse 5, it says, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. And he said, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and I will heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. And he said to them following, truly I have said to you, with no one in Israel I have found such faith. And I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the centurion said, and to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed in that very, very moment. Because of this guy's faith in Christ, but also his honoring of him, he received what? A full reward for what he has believed God for. So, in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, we see this. He says, those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Anybody here wants to be lightly esteemed?
No.
Those who honor me, I will honor. So, just getting practical here for a while. What are we supposed to honor? And how do we honor? First one is, obviously I've spoken about God already. That is foremost. What should we honor? 1 Timothy 6 verse 1 says, authority. Count your masters worthy of what? All honor. This is a tough one for South Africans and for Zimbabweans and those people. Those who are appointed above you, you must honor. Give them the honor that they deserve because they are worthy of all honor. Don't speak bad about them. Pray for them so that God may give them wisdom and peace. First one is authority. Second one, God says that we must honor the tax man. Yes, but we should do that. Romans 13, 6 to 7. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. That's fine. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So, your father and your mother, and I know you guys are awesome in honoring your father and your mother. When you come to God, this is the first one that gives you a promise. Why? So that you may live long in the land of the living. Sometimes we don't want to honor our parents as much because we think they are fallen on their head, people. But they're not. God says, honor your father and your mother. But this is the first commandment with a promise. And then, you must even honor bad authority. Saul and David. David shows it to us in 1 Samuel 25, and then he writes about it in Psalm 89, and he says, you know, I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. He had many opportunities to kill Saul, and he didn't do that. That is also tough. If a guy comes in and he wants to kill me, I know he wants to kill me, and I find some space where it's just me and him, no one will know apart from God, and I'm king anyway. God said so. Yo. You honor authority. And then elders there, 1 Timothy 5:17, worthy of double honor. And this is a gift for our elder that is not here to honor him on his birthday coming on Saturday. But I think he took his family away for his birthday. And then honoring little ones, Matthew 18:6-7, children. Honoring your wife. Hallelujah, guys. When you are married, for those of you who are not, for those of you who are married, you honor your wife, why? So that your prayers may not be hindered. So guys, if you are praying and nothing's happening, go and check if you are honoring your wife. Amen. Thanks, hallelujah, for one amen there. And you don't, I don't have a wife. Like a Patrick. But many times we struggle, guys, because it feels like we're praying against the ceiling. Or we're watching porn, maybe even sleeping around, dishonoring our wives. You know, God's not mocked. Hey, come here. Lap aside, why not? I want to kick your butt. Because you honor your wife and God will hear your prayers. Tough one. God always hears our prayers, okay? So he's not going to not listen to you. It just says there, so that your prayers may not be hindered. It's not like God's not hearing them. But your prayers will be hindered because of not honoring your wife. Okay. And then further on there, and again in 1 Peter 2, you must honor all people all around us. And when I say honor, you know, it's not, don't do the flattery thing. That's not what honor is. You know, if I'm saying, oh, Patrick, you are the best man I've ever met. You are like the guy that I can only share all of my heart's desires with. You are the only one I feel, you know, say, you know what that is? That is flattery and manipulation. Honoring is something that you do, which is great, almost the same thing, but you do it from a pure heart. You say, you know, dude, I honor you with my actions and my words in such a way. And you say to a person, when you see him doing something worthy of honor, you acknowledge that. And you say it. But honoring people is a position of your heart, not on the fact that what they are and what they're doing. If you come to that place where you are esteeming others higher than yourself, that's what honoring is. When I come to you in a haughty way, looking down on you, preaching down on you, you are the ones that I'm speaking to because I'm elevated, I'm lofty, then I'm prideful in my heart. There's no honoring there. But when I change it around, I know this is the son of God or the daughter of God, and I will speak from that weightiness, that heavy place, knowing that you are worthy in God's eyes. So you are worthy in my eyes, and I will speak up to you. I will honor you. I will esteem you higher than myself. That is the place of honoring that God wants us to get to. All right, so as I'm ending off, I want us to continue in that place. God really wants to minister to our hearts here today. He wants to minister just that place of being honored to come into His presence. And then, you know what happens when we come into the presence of a king? He bestows a blessing on you. God has got everything. And He will bless those that come to Him He blessed Abraham. He blessed us in Christ. You know what? When Christ comes into the room after he's died and resurrected, what is the first thing that he says to all the people? Peace to you. He blesses them with his peace. Every time Christ comes in, he says, peace to you. He wants to do that tonight. He wants to come in. And as we come to that honored place of his table, he wants to speak blessing over us.